Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. I am joined by the members of the Lakers bench who showed up tonight. That's who I am joined by. So, Rajon Rondo, you are here. Troy Daniels, welcome to the show. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, thanks for joining us. My first question to you guys is why? Oh, you're okay. They're no showing for this one too. You don't like to. You take wins any way you can get them. Usually in the NBA, usually you would say, you know what? Over the span of an 82 game season, a win is a win is a win is a win. But I don't think we can quite say that about this one. That was a bad win. You know, it's the kind of win that you walk away feeling more like a loss than a win. In a game where the Lakers were once up by more than 30, I believe, Anthony Davis plays 38 minutes. LeBron James plays 38 minutes. Avery Bradley has to play 30 minutes. Kyle Kuzma plays 27. KCP plays 25. It was just... you walk away from that saying, what the hell? let's start here with the good. What it looked like. So basically, we're going to talk a little bit about this game. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I'll just walk away from the show really angry. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on this game. Then we're going to break down the latest about Darren Collison and his considering coming out of retirement. And then finally, we are going to, if we have time, answer a question or two. So let's focus on the good to start this one. And, you know, for the first half, the Lakers looked incredible. You know, Pete and I have done a lot of talking lately about the idea of, hey, it would be nice to see the Lakers just come out and completely smack a team, smack a lesser opponent. And that's what it looked like in the first half. I had a ton of people like adding me and adding Pete and adding people who might have also listened to the show and said, hey, you guys finally got what you wished for. The Lakers are smoking a bad team. They look focused on both ends of the court. And then the third quarter happens. And then the fourth quarter happens. And, you know, there were some moments where it really felt like because the Lakers were kind of effing with the basketball gods that either they might lose this game or even worse because, you know, someone like LeBron checked out of the game and Anthony Davis checked out of the game, that once they came back in, you hope that they can get caught back up to the game's speed and not get hurt. You know, could you imagine if... because the Lakers farted away the lead the way that they did, imagine walking away from that and AD or LeBron are walk away from that, might have to miss some time. Fortunately, that's not the case. But they are still, AD spent some time back in the locker room, having trainers look at his eye. LeBron got hit in the face tonight. And, you know, just generally speaking, because of the workload that they have with this team, you wind up having to, you know, you want to be able on a night like last night to be able to take a fourth quarter off and be able to just completely check out of the game. But that's not how it worked out. The things that I really liked in the first half was, you know, on both ends of the court, the Lakers just really got after it. I really enjoyed offensively. They did a really good job, I thought, of getting to their spots quickly in their offense. They were very sharp offensively. So even when, you know, when they weren't relying on fast breaks or breakdowns or whatever, their offense looked very crisp, and they were able to take advantage of whatever they wanted to take advantage of. Over a Suns team that just isn't as good. And then the second half, it was the opposite of that on both ends of the court. I think my main takeaway from tonight is, holy hell, the Lakers need a non-Rajon Rondo ball handler. It's just, if you're relying on Rajon Rondo to steer your offense, you are automatically giving up something on defense. And Vogel went with Rondo and Troy Daniels, who Troy, like, when I was a coach, the team that I coached was actually really good. One of the teams that I coached was really, really good. And, you know, because they were really, really good, we had quite a few moments where we could go, we could play garbage time lineups. And you know, I remember the first game that one of my guys, I'm not going to name him, but one of my guys got into the game and he hadn't played in a little while, and he immediately gets in there and misses rotation after rotation, turns the ball over a bunch and whatever. And I took him out of the game. And I had my assistant coach just kind of keep an eye on the game for a bit. I went down to the end of the bench and I told him, like, hey, dude, like, I know you want to play. Everybody wants to play. That's the entire purpose of being on the team. You haven't gotten much opportunity to this point in the season, and all you're showing me right now is why I don't play you. Right? These are the reasons. Like, when you do stuff like this, this is why you aren't playing. And you know, if you are out there to try to prove to me why you deserve more playing time, and he was a pretty good player too. He's a pretty talented player. But I remember asking him, like, if this is you trying to prove to me why you need playing time, like, I hope you're really good at getting water, dude. And you know, fortunately, there was a more productive conversation too, where I told him specifically the things that he needed to do and care to. I had to get back to the game, obviously. I was the head coach, so I had my assistants kind of sit him down and tell him exactly where he's, what kind of problems he was having trouble with. He got back into the game and it was fine. But for Troy Daniels, it was that kind of a situation where I'm sure he's frustrated that he's kind of fallen out of the rotation. And all he did last night was prove to everybody, oh yeah, that's why you fell out of the rotation. And it was really tough to watch that. It was really tough to watch that because, you know, when you have a good team, you need the guys at the end of the bench to sometimes push or carry sometimes the team. And I thought, you know, Daniels, you don't want to say that he let down Anthony Davis or he let down LeBron James. He's out there playing for the team as a whole and also for himself. But I really thought he misrepresented himself out there with the minutes that he played. And I could say all the same exact things about Rondo, but we know that. He's just not very good. Last kind of point here before I move on is that I do wonder, with this game as kind of evidence, and I don't want to overreact. You know, sometimes just bad stuff happens, but I do kind of wonder if the Lakers are going to be incapable of blowing out really, you know, teams in general, to the extent that they were blowing the Suns out in the first half. Like, I don't know if we're going to see a complete game like that so long as, you know, Darren Collison isn't on the roster or a player like Darren Collison isn't on the roster. I think that's something that's probably, it might actually become a trend because, you know, in those garbage time minutes, LeBron's going to be out, AD's going to be out, and LeBron especially is the straw that stirs the drink, and the Lakers really missed his impact on offense, and it just, everything fell apart, but especially from the aspect of what the hell are they actually trying to do out there? They look completely rudderless, and seeing as LeBron is the only working rudder on this roster, I do think it's worth wondering whether the Lakers are actually capable of fully blowing out a team, given the way that they're currently built. All right, again, I don't want to overreact. It's still 1 of 82, and the Lakers have improved now to, I believe, 27-7. Yeah, they're 27-7. They improved on their gap over the Denver Nuggets. Over the... Who else was in action tonight? They improved on their I think they now have three games in the win column better than the next best team in the Western Conference, and you know, you got to keep these things in perspective. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I want to talk about Darren Collison. All right, so Woj broke the story earlier this afternoon or yesterday afternoon talking about Darren Collison apparently being sick of pursuing religion and spending time with his family. He apparently got sick of that and is now looking to get back into the NBA and is apparently focused on two teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, which kind of makes sense. He grew up out here. Actually, you know, interestingly enough, Darren Collison, when he was in high school, when we were both in high school, he went to Etowanda. I went to Esperanza. And in the quarterfinals of the 2004 CIF run, they knocked us out. I think they beat us by like 7 points. My coach at that time thought it was a really good idea to full court press a future NBA point guard, man to man full court press, and it was just 5-on-4 after 5-on-4 after 5-on-4 after 5-on-4 because nobody could stay in front of him. And of course, because, you know, this is what high school coaches do, instead of getting angry at the game plan, they got angry at the players for not executing said game plan when thinking about executing such a game plan is probably damn near impossible. I'm not bitter. Why would I be bitter? I just went full Uncle Rico. But anyway, Darren Collison grew up out here in the Southern California area, already played for the Clippers and Doc Rivers, obviously went to Indiana and played for Frank Vogel out there, was teammates with Paul George. And if he's choosing, though, between the Clippers and the Lakers, I do think there's a pretty clear-cut advantage at two reasons why he would make a decision either way. For one thing, as evidenced by last night's game, the Lakers could use a non-Rajon Rondo point guard. And, you know, Alex Caruso only played 4 minutes. Apparently, he's dealing with a calf strain. The Lakers are going to want to be really careful with that because we have now seen on a couple different occasions calf strains kind of sort of leading to Achilles tears. We definitely don't want to see that for Caruso. They're probably going to be really careful in that regard. And, you know, if you look at the other guards on the roster, you have Avery Bradley, who, while he played really well, probably one of his better games of the year. He went 9 of 11 from the field, but his two misses were both from the three-point range. He still can't hit three-pointers. So that's not great. We know Rajon Rondo can't hit three-pointers unless it's absolutely perfect conditions for him to get that shot off. And even Caruso, you know, if we're still talking about the closest things to true point guards on the roster, Caruso can't quite hit three-pointers at the regularity you would like to see as well. And so if Collison does, you know, in his line of thinking, look at the rosters that of both teams that he would be potentially joining, and he would look at the Clippers and say, well, Patrick Beverley's going to get a ton of time over there, and then even behind him is Lou Williams. And sure, there's plenty of room there probably for a third point guard, but he could be the leading point guard on the Lakers. So just in terms of opportunity, I would think the Lakers have a pretty clear-cut advantage over the Clippers here. And then the other thing to keep in mind is Darren Collison probably was in line for upwards of $10 million a year had he signed a contract last summer. So by retiring, he just passes on that. He's not going to get that money. If he is looking for the team that can just flat out pay him more, well, that's the Lakers. The Clippers, the most they can offer him now is a prorated amount of the veterans minimum, whereas the Lakers, because of the disabled player exception that the league granted them as a result of DeMarcus Cousins' injury, well, they have about 1.7-ish million to be able to offer Collison, which is now at this point, and as especially as we move further into the season, more than the Clippers could possibly offer. So if you know, two of the main priorities he's probably going to base his decision off of is opportunity, because, you know, if he's coming back into the NBA this year, it probably is fair to assume that he would like to stick around beyond this year. So he probably wants the opportunity to be able to net himself a nice contract for next season and beyond. So he wants opportunity. All right, the Lakers can check that box. If he wants money, if he's going to base his decision plainly off of the team that can give him the most money, well, that's the LA team that can give him the most money. Well, that's going to be the Lakers. So the Lakers do seem to have the upper hand here, but you never know with these things. He already did spend time in the Clippers organization. Paul George is a friend of his that is on that roster. And he might see the Clippers as the better opportunity to win himself a championship. You never know. But I do think, based on the factors that players usually make these decisions on, the Lakers seem to have an advantage. And boy, do they need him, right? I'm going to quickly kind of talk a little bit about what he would add to the roster. And then in the third segment here in a second, I do want to talk about not necessarily concerns, because they are concerns that are purely hypothetical at this point, but we'll get to that here in a second. Darren Collison is a solid defender. He's a good decision maker, and he can hit open shots. So those are things that the Lakers could, you know, pretty obviously use from the point guard position. I do also, before we go too much further, want to point out that he does have a criminal element to his background here. He, back in 2016, pleaded guilty to misdemeanor domestic battery because of an altercation that he had with his wife. He has since apologized to his wife, served 20 days in jail, did some community service, was on informal probation, went through a domestic violence program to hopefully make sure that that never happens again. As he said this last summer, I guess he refound religion, and that's a big part of his life now again. So I guess, if you're looking for silver linings here in regard to his criminal history, well, there was remorse in ways that some others who have gone through that kind of stuff haven't really shown remorse. And then, you know, and I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel about this. You guys know generally how I feel about this. I think it's something that's really hard for me to look past. It's really kind of gross. It's really hard for me, like I said, to just kind of get beyond that. But if that is something that you're willing and able to get beyond, and you are just looking for ways to make the Lakers better, Collison is probably going to be the best and maybe most realistic option that the Lakers are going to have this year. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, how the Lakers would work Collison in. What are some question marks that need to be answered regarding roster makeup and all of that if they do add Collison? Let's get to all of that here in a second. All right, so what the Lakers currently have in regards to their point guard rotation is quantity versus quality. They have guys who can do certain aspects of the job, but are not very good in others. They have guys who can do parts of that job that don't overlap with, you know, aspects of the other parts of the job that they aren't very good at. So basically, like, you have somebody like Alex Caruso, who is really good on defense, but kind of struggles on offense. And then you have somebody in Rajon Rondo, and then Avery Bradley falls in that same category as well. You have somebody like Rajon Rondo, who at least theoretically is good on offense, but obviously terrible on defense. And then, you know, in reality isn't as good on offense as I think people would hope that he would be. Collison is the rare player that the Lakers would be able to acquire at this time of year without giving anything up, who's good at on both sides of the ball in ways that the Lakers really need him to be good on both sides of the ball. And, you know, in that regard, he would probably immediately become, as soon as he walks through the doors, the best point guard on the roster overall. Now, the question marks that you have there is, well, this point guard rotation is already pretty crowded. You have situations here where it feels like on any given night, one guy, and it's usually, unfortunately, Alex Caruso, but you usually have one guy walking away at the end of each game saying, man, I wish I could have gotten more minutes than I got. And that's only going to be made more complicated by adding somebody who is going to be better than all three of the guys who were currently getting minutes. So one guy is probably going to fall out of the rotation altogether. And while we would like it to be Rajon Rondo, there's that voice kind of whispering in the back of your head, you know it's Caruso. Probably going to be Caruso. He's probably going to get those minutes. He's probably going to lose those minutes. It's going to be Rondo who gets the minutes that you would like to go to Caruso. And now, do I think that that's a reason not to acquire Darren Collison? Hell no. You acquire Darren Collison, and you hope that over the course of the season that Caruso proves that he is just undeniably more worthy of those minutes than Rondo would be. But, you know, we are now more than a third of the way into the season. And while he has leapfrogged guys like Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels, there's still, you know, he still has a lot of work to do to still get, you know, more minutes than Rondo does. Let alone Avery Bradley, who is going to continue to start probably when Collison shows up. So I think the way this probably works out is there's some frustration early on because Caruso sees way fewer minutes than he or we would like to see. And then, you know, Rondo is so bad that hopefully Vogel and LeBron and AD in the front office, everybody watching the Lakers notices how bad he is. And then you start to see the point guard rotation kind of go in the direction of, all right, so maybe Bradley starts, but he gets taken out relatively early, basically when LeBron gets taken out. So you see, basically, Avery Bradley's minutes will probably coincide a lot to a certain extent with LeBron's, because you don't need a creator out there, a secondary creator, so much with LeBron. Collison comes in for at least at the beginning. He'll come off of the bench, and he'll play alongside Anthony Davis, and Kuzma will come in, and KCP will come in, and you'll have ample spacing surrounding Anthony Davis out there, and maybe Dwight Howard for stretches when both LeBron and AD sit down. So you start to see how that rotation works out, and then, you know, if you want a defensive, you could play Collison and Caruso side by side because Collison can handle the ball. He can hit open shots, as I said earlier. That allows Caruso to just focus on the best offensive player on the perimeter for the opposing team whenever he and Collison are out there on the court together. And then you start to work the rotation out from there. And then I would imagine eventually you probably start seeing Collison get some starts here and there. And I think maybe some of Avery Bradley's minutes, maybe some of those dwindle, and KCP starts getting more of a look, or Alex Caruso maybe starts getting more of a look, because, you know, Avery Bradley still is the worst three-point shooter in the NBA, and on this team, if you aren't going to be able to hit jumpers, you'd better be absolutely elite at other things. And, you know, at times Bradley looks like that on defense, but does he look good enough on that end to warrant how bad he is a shooter? Now, maybe he improves, maybe he progresses to the mean. We've already seen the opposite example of that, where Rondo was shooting out of his mind to start the year, and he has since regressed to more of where we would have expected Rondo to be. Maybe Avery Bradley has shot really, really poorly. This is the worst shooting season of his career to this point. So maybe he you know, progresses and goes in the opposite direction and hits a hot streak and gets him back up to a more respectable level, and in which case the Lakers just have another useful player on the perimeter. But I do think rotation-wise, mathematically, it might get somewhat complicated. It might get somewhat jumbled at first, but that's nowhere near a good enough reason to stop yourself from signing this guy or pushing as hard as you can possibly push for him. I do kind of wonder if, you know, so you're already going to have to cut somebody for Darren Collison. And while most are probably going to say, well, just cut Boogie, he's not doing anything. Well, I think we can probably safely assume that that isn't going to happen because AD and LeBron want him around. If you don't cut Boogie, then it probably comes down to either Quinn Cook or Troy Daniels. And I think it's probably Daniels who gets cut, even though Cook has fallen completely out of favor with the coaching staff. I believe, the second year on his contract, he becomes a more tradable asset that you could pair with, like, Avery Bradley, and maybe acquire a wing now that you have a point guard who's going to take up more minutes. And I do think, you know, to kind of bring this full circle, you're probably going to cut a Troy Daniels. And, you know, like I said to Pete in yesterday's show, I think it's more likely the Lakers make two moves than it is they make just one. So if this is their first move in landing Collison, well, then the second addition or the second kind of move that they make is probably to send Avery Bradley to a place where he can get a little bit more playing time, or maybe he makes more sense. And then you hope to land a wing in return to help space the floor a little bit more. The Lakers do need more shooting, probably. And I think if you swap out Collison for Bradley and then send Bradley somewhere else, that allows you to get some more shooting in there. And now you're starting to see a team that, like, if the Lakers add Darren Collison, they're not far behind the Bucks as it is. If they add Collison, I think I would put them kind of neck and neck with the Bucks and with the Clippers, and maybe even give them an advantage over, say, the Clippers, because I think that roster with Collison, the Lakers roster makes a lot more sense, I think, than the Clippers one does. So it's interesting all the way around. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to get around to your guys' questions, but you know what? The Lakers, they walk away with a win, even though it doesn't feel like it. They walk away with a win. It looks like they might walk away with a bigger win, you know, if Collison does make his decision based on the things that NBA players usually make their decisions off of. And you know, maybe tonight or the last couple days won't have felt so bad. I do want to, before we get out of here, send some thoughts, some prayers, some positive vibes, some love to the family and friends and everybody close to David Stern. He passed away yesterday afternoon from complications as a result of the brain hemorrhage he suffered a couple weeks ago. Look, I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that I would not be able to do the things that I'm doing right now without David Stern's impact on the NBA. He, not just, obviously, the league was probably going to grow because you had this influx of star power, and it lends itself really well to the TV and all of these things. But, you know, he made some decisions along the line as commissioner of the NBA that definitely help the league grow more than, you know, other commissioners in other sports. I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that over the course of my lifetime, and maybe ever, David Stern is maybe the best commissioner of any sport ever in here in America, and he's going to be seriously missed. It's really kind of tough. Now, his legacy is kind of complicated. He made some decisions that I disagreed with or whatever, but now isn't the time to talk about that. Now is the time to just send positive vibes in the direction of his family. I'm sure that they're going through a lot. He seemed like a great man. Everybody who was close to him or spent time around him, said that he was, you know, he was hard as nails, but he also was a good and decent man and a very thoughtful man, and would give you the time of day in ways that a lot of people with the amount of power that he wielded or held might not offer you the time of day if you asked for it. So rest in peace to David Stern. This was a tough loss for the NBA. It's kind of weird to think of the NBA without Stern. And, you know, Giannis kind of, he gave a statement, and it was interesting to just hear from Giannis in general, because Giannis probably doesn't exist without Stern and his impact on the globalization of the NBA and on the game of basketball in general. And, you know, we'd be probably looking at a very different league, a very different sport, if not for the way that Stern pushed it across the entire world. So, you know, his impact on the league was such that he made it popular enough that weirdos like myself can make a living talking about it. So I'm grateful to him for that. And I hope that his family kind of gets through what is probably a really tough time. So thoughts, positive prayers, the positive thoughts and love, everything out in their direction. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete will be back tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to come in here fired up to talk about how ugly a game that was. He'll probably have thoughts on Collison as well. So we'll continue to update that as we go along. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.